A reading from Daniel 6 that will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Now, when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went to his house. It had windows on its upper story that opened toward Jerusalem. Three times each day he would get on his knees and pray and offer praise before his God. He continued to do that just as he had been doing before this. Then these men came as a group and found Daniel praying and seeking favor from his God. They then went and asked the king about the decree. Your Majesty, did you not sign a decree that anyone who prays to any god or person for 30 days except to you, Your Majesty, would be thrown into the den of lions? The king answered, Indeed, I did. The order is established as a law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. And the king gave the order, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the pit. The king sealed it with his signet ring and the signet rings of his nobles so that nothing could be changed with regard to Daniel's situation. Then the king went to his palace. He spent the night without food and no entertainment was brought before him, but he could not sleep. At dawn, the king arose as soon as it was light and hurried to the lion's den. As he came near the pit, he cried out in a fearful voice. The king said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve continually able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel spoke with the king, Your Majesty, may you live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because he found me innocent in his presence. Also before you, Your Majesty, I have committed no crime. And the king was very glad and said that Daniel should be brought up from the pit. So Daniel was brought up from the pit and he was unharmed because he trusted in his God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's hard to have hope when you're staring into the mouth of a hungry lion. As a heavy stone clothed the mouth of the den of hungry lions where Daniel had just been dropped, he wondered how the Lord was going to get him out of this mess. How was the Lord going to rescue him? While the lions were circling him, they weren't pouncing yet. In that brief moment, as his life was flashing before him, Daniel thought about how he had gotten there. He had made a big show of force. There was no dramatic, stirring words or objection of refusal before King Darius of Persia. In fact, Daniel had faithfully served the rulers of the land all of his adult life, whether they were the previous regime, the Babylonians, or whether they were the Persians. They trusted him and his wise counsel. He served them faithfully. He was a blessing to them. But Daniel had enemies in the court. They hated Daniel for his Christian life, for his devotion to the true God, for his priorities, his purity, his prayers. They hated the fact that this Jewish believer was the most trusted counselor of their Persian king. And so they played to the king's ego. King thought pretty highly of himself anyway. And so without him even realizing it, they convinced Darius that, you know, for about 30 days, he should require a loyalty test among his subjects. They got him to establish and enforce a decree that prohibits anyone to pray a prayer to any god or person for 30 days, except to you, Darius, Your Majesty, except to you. Anyone who does so will be thrown into the den of lions. And Darius thought to himself, hey, that's a great plan. Wouldn't that be lovely? Everyone thinks I'm a god. Wouldn't that be great? I kind of think that way anyway. Thinking only of himself, King Darius signed into law that irrevocable decree, a law of the Medes and Persians means you can't take it back, you can't amend it, you have to make another law to counter it. So what did Daniel do? Surely he wasn't the only one in all of Darius's kingdom that was not going to pray to the king and it was going to be almost impossible to enforce this. But those royal bureaucrats, they didn't care about anyone else except Daniel. They wanted to take him down. They persecuted Daniel because he lived out his faith, because he prayed in his home, and they thought, this is the way. Because either he obeyed the law and proved himself to be a huge hypocrite, or he got in trouble with the law, faithfully continued to pray to the Lord, and ended up getting tossed to the lions, and then they would be free of this Daniel. You get the impression that Daniel didn't even consider the options. Instead, he made a bold confession and faithful witness with his knees. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went to his house. It had windows on its upper floor. Upper story that turned opened toward Jerusalem. Three times each day, he would get on his knees and pray and offer praise before his God. He continued to do that just as he had been doing before this. No godless king, no unchangeable law would change his daily worship of God, his Savior, of the Lord, his God. No threats, no pain, not even the possibility of a violent and awful death at the by hungry lions for praying could change Daniel's loyalty to the Word of God that called him to worship the Lord, his God, and serve him only. No threat, no persecution could rob him of the hope that he had in the coming Messiah, his Savior. So what did Daniel do? He didn't go to the king and tell him, this is unfair, you shouldn't be doing this. Instead, Daniel went home to pray, just as he had been doing. And there they arrested him and brought him before the king. Now Darius then realized his foolish error. He tried all he could to save Daniel, but this was a law he could not change. The king gave the order, and Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And before a stone could close the opening, the king cried out with an hopeless, hopeless heart, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." And there was Daniel, surrounded by hungry lions. It's hard to have hope when you're faced with the threat of persecution. Something like the threat of a lost relationship or a lost promotion or a lost friendship or worse. It's hard to have hope when you're staring into the hungry mouths of Satan or our sinful world. And when a German monk named Martin Luther started writing against corruption and teaching and practice in the church, he came under tremendous pressure. Do you realize what you're doing? The powerful came to talk to him. Do you realize what you're doing? Recant. Renounce your writings now before you are branded an outlaw and put to death. Now Martin Luther sought to faithfully serve his Lord and hold to his holy word. I mean, what was being taught in the church robbed souls, including his own, of the comfort that they needed, putting tremendous pressure on individuals to save themselves by their own righteousness, by their own works, by their own credit before God, rather than look to Christ for mercy and forgiveness in life. Instead, Luther wanted people to know that we are not saved by our own works of righteousness, but only by the undeserved grace and mercy of God through faith alone in His Son Jesus Christ, as revealed only in Holy Scripture. No threat, no pain, no possibility of death would change that. Why? Because in Christ alone, Luther found hope that would not waver. Now, for the vast majority of us Christians, pressure and persecution doesn't come because of our public writings or stirring confessions before powerful people. Instead, we live out our faith. We remain faithful to God's word, but then what happens? Now, compared to those who lost their lives for the faith, this may seem pretty mild, but we're mocked, we're ridiculed, we're rejected. We don't face a den of hungry lions or the threat of death, but rather we lose relationships because of moral purity. We lose promotions because of worship priorities. We lose friendship because we won't join in sinful talking or walking. We don't face public persecution like Daniel or Luther, at least not yet, though sometimes when one sees Christians in the public sphere, we may wonder how long. We can even experience hatred for Christ or his servants or his word among our own family members. What do we do? Now, we could do what's easy and hide our faith. We could hide our loyalty to Christ and His Word. I mean, no one really needs to know, right? We could simply go along with the culture. But in both of these options, in so doing, we would prove ourselves to be huge hypocrites. Or we could be like Daniel, continuing to live out our Christian lives, continuing to pray, continuing to make worship with our fellow believers a priority, continuing to remain faithful to the Word of God. How could we possibly do that? The same way Daniel and Martin Luther could. In Christ alone, our hope is found. We heard it earlier. Jesus promised to save us. He said, "You will be hated by all people because of my name, but whoever endures to the end will be saved." Jesus promised to save us. Jesus doesn't save you because you're so steadfast in your duty to God. Jesus doesn't save you because you make good choices or because you do what's right or because you happen to go to the right church or you can explain every doctrine of Scripture clearly. No, Jesus saves you because he loves you. He loves you even though you have failed him time and again throughout your life. He loves you so much that he gave up everything to rescue you from Satan and his hungry lions. He loves you so much that he's even willing to shut the lions' mouths for you, and he did just that when he suffered hell for you on the cross. Because of what he did for you on the cross, you can be confident that Jesus will rescue you from the lions of this world, even if it means taking you out of this world. And Daniel wondered about that as the lions circled him. He knew his God could rescue him, but how? Would the Lord shut the lion's mouths and keep him alive on this side of heaven, or would the Lord allow him to come to a violent but blessed end, bringing him into eternity? Either way, the Lord was going to rescue him. King Darius, he spent all night wondering how effective Daniel's God was too. He spent the night without food, and no entertainment was brought before him, but he could not sleep. He was worried about Daniel. And surely that all through that night, he regretted his decision to issue that irrevocable law. So at dawn, the king arose as soon as it was light, and he hurried to the lion's den. As he came near the pit, he cried out in a fearful voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve continually able to rescue you from the lions?" Now Darius worried and expected that he would receive no response from that bloody pit below, except maybe the growling of satisfied lions. The next moments felt like an eternity. And then Daniel spoke. "Your Majesty, may you live forever. My God sent his anger and angel and shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because he found me innocent in his presence. Also before you, your Majesty, I have committed no crime." Daniel had lived. The Lord had literally shut the mouths of the lions. Was God able to rescue his servant? Of course. The king was overjoyed. He had Daniel brought up from the pit. What they found was astonishing. He was unharmed because he trusted in his God. Now, Daniel's hope was in the true God, in the Messiah to come, in the Lord his Savior, and that hope was not unfounded. God made it clear that he is able to guard and keep his own no matter how frightening the pain or persecution might be. But in the end, Daniel wasn't worried about dying. Now for Martin Luther, by God's grace, he never faced the executioner's gallows. He never was torn apart by an angry mob. He didn't even die in battle. The Lord preserved him in the Reformation, bringing the good news of Christ our Savior back to the Christian church. And to that end, he trusted in Christ and the power of his word to transform human hearts. And what do you know? God's word did what it's been doing since the beginning, transformed hearts. To the end, he trusted in Christ and the power of his word. In the end, the Lord brought Dr. Luther's life to a peaceful and blessed end, trusting in Christ alone, who was his hope, his help, his life. Now, while awaiting his own death by execution, and he knew his life was going to come to an end by an executioner's sword, the Apostle Paul expressed that same confidence. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." The same is true for you and me. Christ alone is our hope, our help, our life, our stay in this life and the life to come, no matter what we may face for remaining faithful to him. The devil may bare his teeth at you. The world may snarl in your face. But you need not lose hope. Your Jesus will never abandon you in the lion's den. Your Jesus has proven faithful to you time and again. The Lord who brought you into his family through faith in him. The same Jesus who closed the lion's mouth for Daniel is the same is the Jesus, your Jesus, who strengthens your trust in him and will one day transform your hope into him, into heavenly reality. My friends, until then, find your hope in Christ alone. As you remain faithful to his word now and always. Amen.